Thank you that you come to us in so many ways through Scripture, through our life experience, and through the persons of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three in one. Amen. Please be seated. But before we go to the gospel, we want to make sure you get an opportunity to participate in today's psalm. So can you go ahead? Okay. We're going to read the psalm. Psalm 8 is the psalm assigned for today responsively. So I will read the unbolded, and if you would please respond with reading the bolded verses. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your
glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have founded the whole world, heavens with your foes, silence the enemy and the enemy.
When I look at your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established.
What are your new deeds, and what are mine for them? More worlds that you care for them.
But you have made them a little lower than God, and crown them with glory and honor.
You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea.
O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The gospel today comes from the gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus here is in a long discussion with his disciples. This is in the time right before his death, his very long time of talking to his disciples, helping them to try to understand all things. He wants them to understand everything before the night of his betrayal, or as much as they can possibly comprehend. And so we return again to this farewell discourse in the Gospel of John. Jesus says, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. That is the gospel of our Lord. Thank you. Thanks, Liam. Perfect. Keep going. Perfect. Okay. Do you mind hitting those two lights, too? Excellent. Can I just say thank you to Liam and Sean and Jill for so faithfully helping us? Week after week, always here, unless they're at the Renaissance Fair. That's the one exception. Thank you so much. Well, today is Trinity Sunday, and it's also Father's Day. So again, happy Father's Day to all fathers and grandfathers and uncles and mentors, godfathers, and all you men who show others a way of love and compassion, of care. Thank you. Thank you so much. We wish you a happy day. Today is Trinity Sunday, though. It's a day, it's a high holy day. It's a day that we celebrate, because you really can't understand or can't really explain it, but we celebrate the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So throughout this time, we'll be spending a little bit of time with this icon. Icons come out of the Eastern Orthodox tradition, which icons are considered a window to heaven. Anyone here ever hear the word icon before? And where do you hear the word icon? Exactly. Well, it's on the computer all the time, right? And the other part is, where do you hear the word window? Right? It's your Mac user, right? Okay. I did not realize this. Pastor David told this to me right beforehand. The word icon, the word window, come from the Eastern Orthodox tradition, and that is why Microsoft uses those words. They are not the thing. They show you the way to the thing where you want to go. Make that connection. I'm like, my little light bulb went off in my head when I heard that. But this is the original icon, okay, or one of them. The original meaning of the word icon, a window into heaven, created with the purpose of drawing you in to be in relationship with whatever it is that you see in this art, this painting. But not to be admired, to be entered into. This one is from the 14th century. Obviously perfectly called the Trinity. We'll talk about that in a minute. Well, I have a wonderful female clergy friend. And she and I, a number of years ago, were working on a project together. I was very fond of her at that point. We had just considered each other good friends, mutual admirers of each other's professions and work and ministries. But we kept a little bit of professional distance. But we were working on a project together, and this is before the time of texting, so we would call each other back and forth a lot with all of the details. So much so, and so many phone calls, that at one point I finished the conversation with, "Bye, love you." On the other side of the phone was an awkward silence, and then the word, "Bye." So I was a little embarrassed, because we were friends and we enjoyed each other, but we didn't consider each other best friends. Well, time went on and our conversations had to continue, and the next time we spoke together at the end of the conversation, she paused and she laughed and she said, "Bye, love you." And that's been our closing remark ever since. I love you. It sounds like a throwaway statement, doesn't it? But those words, "I love you," they mean so much. And that's really what we have today in this farewell discourse in the Gospel of John. This long conversation that Jesus has. Can you imagine how much Jesus wanted to say to his disciples on the night before he died? He wanted them to really understand why he was here, what it's all about. And so you hear in the Gospel of John essentially this message. "You are in me and I am in you. Remain in me. I am going to the Father who is your Father as well. And together with the Father we will send you the Spirit. Now remember, I and the Father are one." And Jesus says that again and again in so many different ways in these four full chapters, a fifth of the Gospel of John, is Jesus saying these things repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly. As I was looking over commentaries about this, because we have many weeks of this discourse in this time of the year, some of the commentators were like, "Again, here we go again," finding Jesus' words and this theme to be so repetitive, maybe even a little boring, or maybe even a little annoying. But the point of this part of the Gospel of John is not for us to dissect it and understand what each individual word means. This is here because it mimics the way that we come to understand. It's like hearing that throwaway word, "I love you." That's one thing. But here in the Gospel of John, we have Jesus looking each of his disciples in the eye and saying again and again, "I love you. I will be with you forever. I love you. I will not leave you. I love you. You are mine. I and the Father are one, and you are part of us. I love you. 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 I love you." How do we come to really understand? We hear it, yes, but it stays up here, goes right by us. Or maybe it gets stuck in our brain and we try to pick it apart and understand it. But if we hear it long enough, which is the point of the Gospel of John, it makes its way through our ears into our minds and goes down deeper to the place where you know. And that's the point. Jesus wants you to hear this so often and so much that it gets past all that junk and all those lies and all that pretense that we have in our minds and gets down deeper so that you receive it in your knower. Where's your knower? Hopefully, the Word of God gets down deep into that place. And when that seed is planted, that concept, that proof, that that experience that God loves us, then the Holy Spirit fans that fire. And things in our lives begin to change. We're not supposed to dissect this word of God in John. That's why we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about the theology and the doctrine of the Trinity. Because Jesus' words here are not meant to be dissected. They are meant to be meditated upon. They are meant to be believed. And they are meant to be beloved. Well, today is Holy Trinity Sunday. It should be something pretty easy to preach on, right? And got a lot to choose from. We could spend the whole time talking about God the Father, the creator of all, the one who spoke the word and all came into being. We could talk about God the Son. We could talk about our Savior come in human form and walking among us, healing us, teaching us, dying for us, rising again, showing us firsthand the power of God. We could talk about God the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the comforter, the breath of God, the one who resides within you and all around you, the one who binds all things. And although you probably know a couple of things, it's probably important for us to cover the things like the Holy Trinity. Those words never appear in the Bible. Okay? And we wouldn't even be talking about Trinity if it weren't for Jesus. Who here has gone through the honoring our neighbor's faith? Stop, have we done that together? Yeah. And when we did that, remember time and again, we'd encounter these other religions and sit with them, and then we'd have to look at it and go, you know what? This is really interesting, and I really admire this religion. What do we do with Jesus? That's always our question as we encounter other religions and different people that don't have our Christian doctrine. What do we do with Jesus? So the reason we even have Trinity Sunday is because of Jesus. Jesus who gives nuance and depth of meaning to whoever or whatever this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob may be. But we're going to leave the rest of that doctrine aside because the only thing that really matters about the Trinity is about the relationship. The Trinity is God in relationship with God. So I invite you now to turn your attention to this beautiful icon, again called the Trinity. Take a minute and tell me or think about what you notice. What is your eye drawn to? The halos, okay. What do you notice as far as similarities between the three? And what do you see as differences? Heads are bowed. Oh, I like that, yeah. They're leaning inward, aren't they? Do you notice any remarkable similarities? This is, again, from the Eastern tradition, not from our Western tradition. This is not what you'd find in the Sistine Chapel. What do you notice for the similarities? The clothes, okay. Can you, unless you are an art historian or an art, a docent, can you tell the difference? Do you know who's the Father, who's the Son, the Holy Spirit? Okay, yeah, notice that. Now the other question is, do you feel drawn into this in any way? Does it draw you in? It's ancient, so it's a different style of painting. But do you notice too that fourth wall, that wall on like, the wall that would keep you out and have you only be an observer, do you notice that wall is somewhat broken? Yeah. That is intentional. Because that little space between whichever of the two are on the right and left, I don't know. That space right there, that is the space for you. That is where you are to enter into this experience and this relationship. That's where you are to sit down with this Holy Trinity. Do you notice that the head, when one has its head tilted in, that's interest. That's where the intention is. It's binding the three together. They're listening to one another. They're discussing things together. And that is your place right there in the center. Well, you're supposed to come in and with the Trinity, help them finish that rather large bowl of wine. That's a Trinity beckoning to you, saying, come on in, take a load off, however you are and whatever is going on, we beckon you to come and be here. If you're angry, just come. Come angry. If you're confused, just come. Just come confused. Come as you are. If you're sad, come sad. And let this Trinity help you bear your grief. If you are grateful, if you are full of wonder, then come and celebrate and rejoice with those who gave you that wonder. Kick back, relax. Enjoy our company. Do not worry about a thing. For you are already loved. You are already part of this relationship, and there is a place at the table for you. Now notice this also with me. There is no tension within the Trinity. There is no conflict within the Trinity. And all three essentially look the same. There is not one that is over or more majestic or bigger or older, whatever it may be, than the other. They are all exactly the equal size, pretty much exactly the same facial body. And that's also intentional. Because this reflects the truth that Jesus told us throughout the Gospels, and every time we hear that voice from God from heaven, the same thing is said to us. That God the Father constantly gives honor and glory and love and credit to God the Son. And God the Son constantly gives honor and glory and love and credit to God the Father. And God the Spirit, God's breath, God's wisdom, the advocate, the comforter, proceeds from both the Father and the Son and draws us into this relationship as well. There is no conflict in the Trinity. No one person hoards glory ever. A huge difference between humans and our God. This is the kind of flowing of love, of purpose, of unity that God wants for us as well. That's our model. That's our goal. May I hear these words today. The beautiful thing about this Trinity, again, is all this honor, power, glory, love, purpose, creativity, goodness, light that flows between the three persons of the Trinity. It comes and it engulfs you as well. You are welcomed into the Trinity. You are part of this wonderful dynamic going on here. We heard it in the psalm that we read today. God, you are so amazing. You're so wise and powerful, so creative. Just look at creation. And you know what? I see your work everywhere, and yet you're mindful of me. You are mindful of us. We are special, we are chosen, and we are loved by God. And this is the divine mystery that you are invited into each and every Sunday when you come up and you celebrate Holy Communion. For it is indeed the entire Trinity that comes around to you with the bread and the cup, inviting you to be part of this wonderful dance of the Trinity. When we take into ourselves the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that is God in for the bread and wine, that Spirit stays with us and guides us through our week, through our month, and through our lives. I want to end with just a quick story of what happened for me this past week as God reminded me of God's constant care and presence. I was shopping at Martin Final just a couple of days ago for two graduations and for day camp. And as I'm pushing my huge cart, the huge cart, down the aisles in front of the frozen section, I just all of a sudden found myself a bit overwhelmed. forgetting things in two aisles over there, wondering if the ice cream was going to melt before I picked this thing up and how I was going to get it all back and in. And there in the middle of the ice cream aisle, I just stopped and I said, I'm overwhelmed. I can't do this. This little voice, the Trinity, knocked in my head and said, hey, you could always ask for help. And so I did. I said, God, I can't do this. I need your help. I'm overwhelmed. And the Trinity suddenly reminded me that I didn't have to do it all today. And then someone walked up the aisle and said, can I help you with that? The next thing I know, they opened up another check stand and helped me unload the cart, sort it, and helped me pack it all up on the other side. And everything went from impossible to possible. It went from frustrating to doable. And all I could do was stand back and give thanks. It's just a brief reminder that sometimes these brief reminders stay with us through the week to remind you that the Holy Spirit, God, Father, Holy Spirit, is within you, wanting to help you, wanting to guide you, living within you, honoring you, crowning you with glory and honor. You are not alone. Within you dwells the Trinity. So happy Father's Day. Happy Trinity Sunday. And let's rejoice in this, because you are in relationship with God. Amen.